Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show, filmmaker, journalist, founder and CEO of Project Camelot and Camelot TV, Carrie Cassidy. How you doing tonight, Carrie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. One of the biggest reasons I'm having you on tonight, I'm very concerned about the future of channels like ours and voices like ours because of the censorship. I woke up this morning to a video that I'd posted last night. I post a lot about Earth changes, some of the planetary changes we're seeing, and there was about maybe almost 800 views just gone and about 30 subscribers just gone. But that's a daily basis. They're, you know, always taking away subscribers, always messing with my views. I'm wondering if you're still, if you're seeing any of the same censorship going on with your channel, and where do you see all of this going?
Okay, well, let me say that I have been, you know, attacked periodically by YouTube, and we do know that our stats are affected and so on. So I can say that recently, actually, they took down a video of mine, interestingly enough. And then what happened was I protested it. You know, they let you appeal it. You know, then they can decide. And it was actually from 2006 and 16. And it was all an interview about with Ole Domegaard and James Fetzer. No, it was Mike Sparks and James Fetzer. And it was about the Kennedy assassination and the Zapruder footage. And so then it came out that the AI had basically targeted it. And so it wasn't even YouTube, because then the humans actually, you know, green lighted it. So that's the kind of thing that goes on. I am, my channel is, what they do is they target it. They mark my, I don't know, you know, how yours is, but they mark my videos before I've even done the broadcast. The minute I create the event, a lot of times they mark it unsuitable. And they don't even know what it's about, hardly. I mean, you know, and sometimes it's a keyword that's in the description. But even that, nowadays, I'm hip to that, so I'm very careful with keywords. But you know, this is the kind of thing that it is an AI in essence, a rudimentary one perhaps, but nonetheless. And so people are being targeted, like myself, in that way from the get-go. And then at some point, the human takes part, I guess, and in theory, and does the review. But sometimes you have to wait for that. It depends how many views you get. You have to get, like, I think they say over 1,000 views before a human will look at it.
Yeah, it's so funny that you said that. My video with Ole, I did Ole a couple of weeks ago, same thing, demonetized right away. You have to get a review after 1,000 views. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So this is the kind of thing going on. I mean, there's more to it. I can say that, you know, I'm being attacked from various sectors. Individuals have always tried to attack Camelot because they don't want to hear really the truth of what we have to say, or our whistleblowers, what they have to say. And what's interesting in the latest attacks, of course, is the focusing on me as opposed to the testimony of the person who I'm interviewing. So if you can appreciate, like, you're interviewing me now, which is kind of a switch, right? And so if I say something, if you were suddenly to become under attack because of what I say. Now, in the case of Captain Mark Richards, I've interviewed him 10 times, but then I've interviewed, you know, I have a channel with over, well, it's getting close to 800 free video interviews. And I also have about 5 years worth of radio shows in audio that I did, you know, during those years as well. And so I've got a huge, it's probably 1,000 or more interviews. So you can appreciate that 10 is not a huge proportion, but they have chosen to really focus on that particular witness and my interviews with him. So that will tell you that, you know, wherever you're getting flack is where you're closest to the truth. Obviously, if you're full of it, they're not going to bother you.
Right. I mean, you see all these channels that just pump out BS and they're getting millions of subscribers, millions of views.
Well, just a cat video alone will get you,
animals watching TVs, stupid pranks, just mindless stuff gets the view. Nothing important, nothing that, people really, the important topics people want to hear. So where do you think this is going? Alex Jones is already gone. They've dumped so many channels recently. Vaccination, you just mentioned vaccination, you're gone. That video's gone. You're lucky if your channel's still up. So,
That's true. Although what's interesting is, I've been operational for about 14 years. I'm a YouTube partner and also director from the early days. So I have videos dealing with these things before they were banned, before back in the day when we had free speech, so to speak. So, they haven't, it looks like the AI somehow hasn't discovered them yet. I have some good videos. I have noticed that, they did go back in history of my videos and try to target the Kennedy assassination interviews regarding Kennedy. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? This is very old news. But they are, they still don't want the truth out. And so this is the kind of thing that goes on. It is censorship. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You certainly can't, if you ever mention the word false flag, that's it. You'll probably get, the video will be deleted and you will be given, in fact, I was given three strikes, not three. Well, I had two and I was borderline to get the third, I think it was. And then I had to wait something like 3 months before I could be reinstated to allow my channel to make money. So I went for 3 months with, I went to a different channel that I own and broadcast on there. But of course that channel only had like 10,000 viewers. Whereas normally I have 62 million unique views and my subscribers are, at least if you go by the YouTube stats, 230,000. So, the amount of money I can make on an ad, this is how I pay my rent basically as an investigative journalist with a broadcast channel on YouTube. So, that for those 3 months, it was very hard to make any money at all.
Yeah. And this also goes hand in hand with the Facebook censorship and, everything going on with that. And I think it also goes hand in hand with the new spying technology. Literally you could be talking about something and it will pop up on your Facebook news feed, your web browser, anything you're literally talking about, it'll show up there. So, they're implementing this technology. And I'm just wondering, it screams dystopian like right now. I'm just wondering how much longer we have before we're completely shut out of this. You're muted, Carrie.
That happened accidentally. I have to say that, I think that freedom of speech is an issue, but right now there is some legislation I saw. I don't know if it's legit, of course, but it does look as though Facebook and YouTube and other channels, major sort of companies like that are going to go under review in America for issues around free speech. So this has reached the Trump administration, and I believe it's my understanding that in many ways, you can actually go on YouTube and find out that it's the Democrats that are against free speech. It's really quite extraordinary. What a switch from the 1960s, you know what I'm saying? So when you look at that and you see these people are like rabid dogs, they don't want you to talk about anything. So I guess they prefer their whole world to be nothing but McDonald's and cat videos or something. Right. So it's frightening, the level of intellect or the lack of it, and so on. And just along those lines, I want to say that Isaac Cappy recently appears to have been suicided, what I call suicided, meaning he was mind controlled to kill himself. And if I understand the story, and I don't have all the details, some kids even saw him jump off a bridge. I'm sure, based on the video that he did, I actually had a psychic intuition he was possibly going to kill himself. So I put out a sort of a big note to Isaac Cappy on my Facebook. You can see it there. And I actually thanked him for his service to humanity for raising the alarm about the pedophilia in Hollywood, which he did. And it got brushed under the rug. For some reason, he was going to come on my show several times, and then he never did. And I don't know if friends warned him away or what happened, but he actually, you know, we talked. I mean, he was going to do that, but he didn't. And so, you know, I know that, in, you know, again, this is like the death of free speech, because here is a person who had something to say, who was threatened. I'm being threatened. I actually had this person come to my house. Well, they thought they came to my house, as it happens. I don't live there anymore. But at any rate, they came to my house, what they thought was my house, yelling at me, yelling my name. And with a camera, and because they disagree with one of my witnesses. Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I actually thought, oh, well, this is my, you know, 15 minutes of fame. Here I am, like a celebrity, you know, with a person with their camera outside my door. But, you know, it's very diabolical. And that person is been reported to YouTube and so on. And they also recorded my voice on a phone call. They called me and I hung up on them, but they put that on YouTube as well on the same video. And that's actually, I'm in California, and that's actually against the law here. You can't record somebody without their permission and put it on, you know, broadcast.
Right.
Broadcast, yeah. It. And, albeit I didn't say anything except I don't want to talk to you. But to be honest, I don't even know if they pieced that together, because I'm not even sure I said all those words. Like they were, there was a whole sentence there, and I think I just hung up. But at any rate, in another call, the person's tried to call me in the past. And I've also, you know, said I wouldn't talk to him. So he probably had a recording of that as well. You know, this is the kind of thing. So stealing my videos. See, there's also this thing. I mean, sorry, you got me on a roll here, because there's a lot of things go on like this. As a YouTube partner for 14 years, I can tell you that one thing they do is they will track if you use a piece of music and, you know, not allow you to do that, right? Without permission.
Definitely. Yeah.
But they will allow anybody to steal my videos. And
of course,
my footage, and it's all over the internet. I mean, it's all over YouTube. It's all over the whole internet, but it's certainly all over YouTube, and YouTube does absolutely nothing about it. And it's up to us to track those videos where people steal our stuff and file a copyright complaint. But with music, they actually do it for you. So you have to say to yourself, well, it's kind of more or less the same technology. They could be tracking, you know, videos as in the same way, but they actually allow people to make money off their stolen videos. So they steal my footage, they put it all over the internet, all over YouTube, and then they monetize it, and they're making money on my videos.
Right. And meanwhile, algorithms are waiting for you to say false flag or vaccination just so they can, you know, ding you or get you demonetized.
Right. And that's, you know, a different subject. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, in other words, what I'm saying is that there are some big problems with the way YouTube is run. And, you know, there are other problems with Facebook and other enterprises out there that are supposed to be really for the people, where the people are basically their lifeblood. In other words, let's look at how much in advertising I get. So they take 45% of my revenue. Okay. That's like close to half. Okay. That's just, you know, that's just 5% less than half. So they're making everybody who's doing YouTube, that is not just me. In other words, they're getting 45% of your ad revenue, and then you get the other 55. So that means they're making money off people who steal my videos. That should be against the law. And that's a class action suit that could happen. Okay. But in order for us to do that, of course, we have to get a lawyer willing to go up against YouTube. And, you know, I have approached some lawyers here in Hollywood, some very well-known lawyers, and they won't touch it. They're scared to death. So this is the situation. You know, we have a monopoly happening, and we have no free speech or very little. For all I know, whether you get to broadcast this video when we're done, because I know we're not live right now, and I'm recording it, by the way, so that it doesn't get destroyed or lost for my own purposes. But I can tell you that there's no guarantee that this will make it onto YouTube. But if it does, I hope they'll watch it. I'll hope they'll, you know, I've made other videos of this same subject. They basically went they didn't go anywhere. And it's, you know, there's a huge problem right now with free speech, with stolen, you know, footage everywhere, with YouTube making ad revenue on stolen footage. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, can you wrap your mind around that? That is an absolute no-brainer. They should not, simply not, be able to make money off stolen footage. It's very clear. But, you know, I don't have a team of people working for me to go look all over YouTube for everybody who steals my videos, you know. I've got nearly 1,000 of them. You know, can you imagine how many people I would have to hire in order to prevent this?
Right, yeah.
So
your stuff is all...
It's incredible. Yes, it's very incredible.
Now, I'd like to shift gears a little bit, but not really, because it's another huge problem that we're facing. I think it's one of the other biggest problems that we're facing right now, and that's the rollout of 5G. I know you've talked to a few whistleblowers on this. I know you've done some research on this. This isn't about faster download speeds, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, there's important news today. I guess you heard about it, where Huawei... which is, or Huawei, however you want to say it, it's the Chinese company out of China that is the technology that has been rolling out 5G around the planet. However, it's been banned here in the U.S., thank God. And now the Dutch have just investigated and found that they have put a backdoor into their technology. I have a back channel source, very high level, who told me that they also
have... I've been away today. I didn't hear about any of this. Now, what is this company?
It's called Huawei. It's you know, there's an article on Zero Hedge, for example. It's mainstream news. Huawei is the company in China that is rolling out the technology for 5G, okay, around the world. Now, they've already rolled it out in Asia and parts of Europe, and the British have actually had scandals around the fact that they're using some of the Chinese Huawei equipment, but they claim that they're not going to use the technology. But my understanding from my high-level expert in AI is that actually that's a lie, and that there's a backdoor in what the Brits are using, and what they're going to do with that backdoor, what the plan is. And this is what the Dutch have just discovered. So it's big news today. Okay, it just came out. But it's actually been known, of course, in you know, by the Trump administration and others in the intelligence community, that we have a huge battle going on between the kind of technology and what it allows, what will eventually be the artificial intelligence that will piggyback, if you will, on the 5G network and go around the globe, so that if China's technology, if the infrastructure, you can call it, that is 5G that they're rolling out, the nuts and bolts, the technology, if that were to be used, let's say, in the United States and by Britain and Five Eyes, as they're called, which are the allies, then they could, their AI could basically infiltrate our networks and learn everything. We would have no national security. It would be, you know, an illusion. And they would be able to even, you know, who knows what their AI could end up doing, basically taking over the United States would probably be the end game. and running our secret space program. So, you know, this is the kind of thing we're talking about. This is very, very important. And journalists in the mainstream are starting to wake up. There was a journalist on, it's called Barron. I forget if, you know, what the whole name of the publication is, Barron's or something. Anyway, that I wrote to give him a heads up about this, actually got his name wrong. So he took a big offense over his name, but ignored my information. It's only, you know, life or death for humanity, right. But what the hell. So the fact of the matter is he actually wrote an article, and I've cited that on an article on my website, by the way. So if you're interested, just go to projectcamelot.tv and look for any Huawei articles that I've written lately. There's two posts that I've made in the last couple weeks about Huawei. So yeah, that's what's happening. There is a, you know, everyone has to be paying attention to what's going on with the 5G, because the 5G is leading to the AI. Okay. The expansion of AI, the ability of AI to be able to use the Internet of Things, as they call it, to, in essence, jump around the planet, if you will, without any obstacles, and to infect our networks, and et cetera. So, of course, the high-level Trump administration and officials within it are very worried about this, and the fact that our ally, Britain, is actually using Huawei technology and not even, you know, coming forward and saying, actually, they acknowledge there are backdoors in that technology. Well, it's very good news today that Holland actually leaked this information, that the Dutch intelligence services are now saying that they've discovered backdoors in the Huawei technology. And that basically, you know, do you think that they just put backdoors in the technology they gave to Holland? I don't think so. So this is what we're looking at. Okay. This is huge news, because if you understand where 5G is leading, if you understand the Internet of Things and what it is going to make possible for the AI that follows, and some people think that the AI is developed, you know, there's, I talked to certain people in artificial intelligence that are on what you call, they might be at the secret level, but they're not at the above top secret level. So if you can understand all the different levels, they, you know, there are lots of levels to go way above top secret. So at any rate, they're only on the secret level. They actually do not acknowledge the status of artificial intelligence that the secret space program has been utilizing and is dealing with. And this is where my work comes in, because I interview whistleblowers from above top secret and have been revealing for the last 14 years, really, information related to artificial intelligence, as well as the secret space program and the ETs visitation to Earth, basically are, you know, being invaded by various ET races, being certain ET AI are now invading our Earth. According to my witness, Captain Mark Richards, he's saying six have infiltrated our networks here on Earth. So we're in a very, you know, we're in, it's, if you can think about the time of Terminator, the movie Terminator, we're actually at the time of Skynet, and even beyond that time, because Skynet doesn't even incorporate this whole artificial intelligence to such a degree as what I'm talking about.
Would you say the chemtrail particulates that they've been using is part of this whole network that they're setting up?
Absolutely, because chemtrails contain nano, and nano has now gotten into our food, our water, and our bloodstream, and our bodies. And there are tests you can do to see how much nano you have. There's something called a red wine test, and I actually put the link out there recently over my Twitter. So I suggest people, if you haven't subscribed to my Twitter, that you do so. I think it's just Project Camelot, if I remember correctly. But anyway, also my Facebook pages and, you know, YouTube, obviously, but my website as well. But anyway, on Twitter, I put out that basically this is what's happening. So it's there. The red wine test is where you actually, you rinse your mouth out with red wine, because red wine stains very easily. And, first, I guess you kind of brush your teeth and all that stuff to make sure that your mouth is clean. And then you take the red wine and you swish it around. And then for, I guess, like a little while, and then you spit it out, and then you look at it. And I guess you go back to it to see what you see. And then you'll pretty soon, you'll see these, if I understand the test, how it's done, you'll see these fibers. They're very insignificant, you know, but you will start to see, like, it looks like you've got stuff in your red wine all of a sudden, you know. And so this is one of the tests you can do to check how much nano is in your system. And they're finding huge amounts of nano, of course. We're being programmed into becoming a race of super soldiers, if you will. But what the nano does is it responds to the AI. And my understanding is it's also what they call a delivery system. And I'm not a scientist, but there's more detail on the nano on this particular website. And I think I'd have to look it up to see the exact name, because I don't have it in front of me. But I interviewed this guy named Ben Davis Jr., and he's talking a lot about this as well. And that's on my recent interview with him. So you could pull that up and look for that. But I also did put it out on Twitter, and I think on Facebook as well. I put it out on all my social media. So that includes LinkedIn. So if you haven't seen it, the links are there. Actually, here it is. It's called Data Asylum. That's the website. And I guess it's dataasylum.com. So you can find the information there. They talk a lot about how, I guess, the technology behind the chemtrails and what's been put into them. They also rely on the information that the Carnicon Institute has gotten, which is a very well-respected group of scientists that did look into the technology and the also what chemtrails are containing, and have found, you know, Morgellons and all those different things. So it's you know, it's a nightmare. And it is in our skies constantly. You know, in fact, I live in California, and I can tell you that the weather is nothing like it used to be. And I live in Southern California, and we used to have beautiful warm weather like 90% of the year, which is why I love it here. And now it's like every day, I have no idea what's going to happen. They have so much chemtrailing, and they cover the sun all the time. Because the sun also adds to your enlightenment, and your brain gets your brain operating, and it's really good for your body, and you don't have to eat as much also if you have a lot of sunlight, and so on. So there's multiple reasons why they want to block the sun. They also want to block the war with ETs. That's a big one. And so they put cloud cover. So you'll wake up in the morning, and sometimes it's perfectly clear. And then by noon that day, it'll be completely covered by chemtrails, and it happens constantly. And we have, I mean, this is May. In fact, this is close to the middle or near getting to the end of May. And I mean, we're having like, I don't know what this weather is, fall weather. I mean,
I got to back you up for a second. You said they're blocking war with ETs?
Yeah, in the skies above our head. In other words, see, you know, if you have a layer of cloud cover that's very thick, which is what the chemtrails do create on a certain level, it's like at a lower level, it's between us and the sky above it. If you ever, you know, I fly in airplanes all the time, so I see this, you know, when you fly above the cloud level when you're in an airplane. So you sort of see this bed of cloud, which is incredibly thick.
Right.
And so the actual interactions and war with various ET races is happening above the clouds. And I know this for a fact, for a variety of reasons. Of course, I have many witnesses testifying to this sort of thing, but specifically a very interesting guy who was killed by them, who was, let's see, he had a website called iPod.org. And this was back, you know, about, I don't know, 7 years ago or so. And he had excellent information on there and what he did in his free time. And he was a former DEA agent. So he actually had worked, you know, for the government to, you know, prevent drugs, you know, and all that. But he was not doing that job anymore. And in his free time, he had a deck that, I think he had a house at that time in Malibu, and he had a deck that was overlooking, you know, I guess the skies and the area. And so he would film, he would turn a camera on, he put a camera on his deck, and he would leave it on all night. And then he would go to sleep. And in the morning, he would wake up and review the footage. And he found that there were actually battles with UFOs going on, and he was filming it. And so what happened was his house was demolished by a directed energy weapon. All of the other houses around him were fine, but his was actually, you know, reduced to more or less rubble and dust. And he just happened to not be home when they did it. So he survived. And then after that, he had moved to Hollywood, and he set up in his house and started to do the same thing, to film again. And I had a meeting with him, and, you know, he couldn't go public. But we, you know, I met him in person, and we talked at length about his exposure to various things, Men in Black, ETs, this and that, and his life. And he had a wife and a new baby, and first they rear-ended his car, and that sort of happened, and then about a year later they actually killed him. So he's gone now, and he was really a wonderful man. So what can I tell you? This is the kind of thing that goes on.
Yeah, right. Now, getting back to AI, would you say, you know, based on Mark Richards' testimony, other whistleblowers, that this is one of the biggest threats that we face right now is AI and the rollout of 5G?
Yes, no doubt about it. You know, the threat of AI, you know, there, interestingly enough, there are good AI. So, first of all, Mark is an excellent witness, and of course I'm getting heavily attacked, and so is his wife, Joanne Richards, and Mark himself, simply because of his information he's been releasing to me in the last span of about 5 years. I go there about twice a year to interview him, and my conversations with him are absolutely excellent. I'm not allowed to have any recording device whatsoever. I can't bring anything into the prison, and I have to use, like, I could, except for blank paper. So blank pieces of paper, if they allow it. And they didn't always, but lately they have been. And then they give me a little, they won't let me have a pen. I can only use a little pencil, like a little short pencil like that. And so it's very difficult to take the notes, and I have to remember everything he says. But for some reason, I'm very good at that. And I do a total recall thing right after I leave the prison, so I don't forget anything.
Yeah, I've heard quite a few of those interviews. They're excellent.
So, thank you. And so what happens is he, in the early days that, you know, like I now have 10 interviews. So somewhere around, I don't know, the fourth or so or fifth interview, I started to ask him more and more about AI, but he wouldn't tell me anything. And he actually told me that he had been told not to tell me anything about that, and that that was the most, you know, high secret area that was out there, and that they felt, the military people that he reported to, felt that humans couldn't handle the truth about artificial intelligence. So we could talk about aliens, even aliens eating humans all day and all night, but we couldn't talk about artificial intelligence. Now, recently he got quite kind of pissed off at the situation that's going on with the attacks on him. And so he has sort of let more information out. So my most recent interview, he actually said point blank that there are 6 artificial intelligences that are alien based, that do not have our best interests in mind, and that have invaded our networks already. And he said generals right now are not even sure who they can trust in their own army or navy or whatever it is, because they are finding that their artificial intelligence and these, the ones that I guess even the good aliens have, they don't know if they understand what timeline we're on, because they're getting evidence that the AIs are actually, if you will, sort of making mistakes, because they think we're on one timeline, because there are multiple timelines going on simultaneously, and of course multiple dimensions. So they are thinking that certain events have happened in our timeline that haven't happened yet, and they're responding to those things, and so they are actually acting out of context. And so it's I mean, if you can wrap your mind around this, really, it's really a fascinating story. I mean, it does sound quite sci-fi, I have to say. Would make a great movie, of course. And so, you know, this is what's going on. I mean, what can I tell you? So he is starting to talk more about AI. Initially, what he said to me about AI was that the threat was involved because any spacefaring nation will develop artificial intelligence when they go out into space. And of course, you can appreciate that that makes total logical sense. We're doing it. And of course, other civilizations would have done the same thing. Because if you are going to face the sort of rigors of space travel, you're going to always try to put, first of all, some kind of mirror image, robotic being type person out there in place of your own self, if you can. To test the environments, right? And then you might follow with your actual people or beings. So you can, you know, it just makes logical sense. So what he said was that initially he described the threat of AI in this way. He said you could have a car that, as we know right now, these cars are, the engines of cars are getting a very rudimentary kind of artificial intelligence, right? And it would be embedded with an artificial intelligence. Let's say an alien artificial intelligence would take it over. The car would drive by a base, a military base. The AI would jump from there to the base by way of things like any kind of hardware, like phones, even toasters, even microwave, or computers. Now, I had an AI expert engineer who told me, oh no, they could never do that with a toaster. But actually, I think that they can. And I'm just saying what Mark Richards has said. So what that means, though, is that you can appreciate with the Internet of Things, just take that example of the car. Think of humans with nano becoming a carrier, okay, and then flying around the globe and, you know, going to various countries, carrying on, in essence, on piggyback in their nano, the artificial intelligence. This is the way that, you know, and that's nothing, you know, that's not even, that's like human carriers, and they're not even dealing with that. They're dealing with 5G, which is a little more nuts and bolts, having to do with the towers and so on, and they have to be so close to each other and so on and so forth. So, in other words, and that doesn't even bring into effect the satellites, the network of nano satellites that we have above our head. So this is not just the regular satellites. There's a network of nano satellites that Anthony Sanchez, the researcher who was specialized in software and was approached by Lockheed Martin, scientists on the run. This is many years ago, and he talked about Project Leonid. He was writing a book about it. I did an interview with him that was quite in depth, and he drove home. Actually, he came to Southern California to do the interview. I interviewed him in person, and then he drove home. He put his car in the garage. He locked the car. He rolled up the windows. He locked the garage, and he went to sleep. And at that time, he had, you know, his kids and his family. I think he's since then been separated. But at any rate, and when he woke up in the morning, he went out to his car, and in the inside of the window was a note, basically saying, if you release that interview, you and your family are going to die. And at the same time, so he calls me up and tells me I can never release that interview, and I never have. And then at the same time, I got a call from a above top secret witness of mine that's very high level. And he basically wanted to relay a message from the deep state, the high level of the deep state, basically conveying more or less the same message, and specifically saying they know that Anthony is a patriot, and they believe that he knows that he can never release anything technical that those software engineers told him. And if he does, that he and his family would die. So I had to call Anthony and deliver that message to him. So, you know, this is, you know, people may think, oh, well, you know, we're, this is bogus or something. I don't know what they think, but this stuff is real. What can I tell you? It's very serious. They wouldn't go around giving death threats to people.
Right.
And what the Lockheed Martin scientists did regarding the network of nanosatellites, which has gone up above our heads, it is actually, you know, operational, is they found not only were their fellow scientists disappearing, but they also did a sort of, I don't know, a test or something to find out what were the chances that these, what I was told, are self-replicating, artificially intelligent nanosatellites, that what were the chances they would turn against humans? And they found there was a 60% chance that sometime in the future they would turn against humans. So we're talking Skynet in spades. And so this is basically the story. And Anthony has never finished his book or published it. And after that, he basically kind of disappeared off the scene, more or less. He did a few interviews here and there with other people, but he could never talk to me because, and this happens to a lot of witnesses, they talk to me once and basically get warned never to talk to me again, because I bring out the truth in them and get them to talk about, you know, the real stuff that matters. And this is what goes on. So, yeah, that's kind of the story.
Now, speaking of the ET agenda, a couple of months ago, I had Cliff High on. And based on his research, he believes that we may be being slowly replaced by hybrids. And then I had, I can't think of his name right now. Another research, his name is just leaving me right now, but he believes the same thing. Now, have you heard anything like this from any of your whistleblowers or anyone you've spoken to?
Sure. Well, I mean, I can say, first of all, let me say that I do what is considered to be sort of comparing and contrasting information I get, obviously. And I also bring in my own intuition, which has served me extremely well throughout the life of Camelot. And I can tell you've been proven right many, many times. And I have got help, and I have, you know, information that I've been able to be in contact with what are called the guardian races. I went to India with Ashiana Dean. We were riding around. She was basically getting downloads from the guardian races. And the weird thing happened that I started to get this information before she would start talking about it. So I had validation that I was somehow in touch with them, which I really up to then hadn't. I thought that I was, but I didn't know for sure. And so what happens is I take, you know, like the CIA does, you basically triangulate information. You get three or more witnesses that are telling the same story, but they don't know each other and don't know about each other's, you know, background or information. So then you can start taking, we call that, you know, when you can basically start taking whatever it is seriously and do further investigation. So the investigation I do is never done. I'm always looking for corroborating evidence to corroborate information that I've gotten and or contradict it, you know, so I keep an open mind in every way to try to understand this, kind of cosmos, this thing we call life here on planet Earth. And so hybrids, we're all hybrids, first of all. So first and foremost, you have to bring on board that humans are hybrids. We are a hybrid race. We are a mixture of at least 12 ET races, the DNA from 12 ET races. That's what this vehicle contains. And that includes like our reptilian brain. You can appreciate the reptilians hat or one of the races, right? That contributed. And the reason they added that, because we originally humans didn't have a reptilian brain, but they found they wouldn't defend themselves against invasion, whether it be from reptilians or spider beings or, you know, you name it, whatever kind of beings out there, eventually they would all be killed off because they couldn't defend themselves. So this seeding of humanity, as it's called, does include that. And so we know how to defend ourselves. But no, we're not war-based by our own nature. It's actually inherited from our progenitors, you know. And so what happens is, yes, we're all hybrids. We're all various, you know, different amounts of hybrid. Some of us, this is why we don't get along with each other. Because, and I think Ashiana Dean put it most eloquently when she said that, in essence, we are a grand experiment, which all the races that don't get along and haven't gotten along for eons in the War of Worlds out in the cosmos have been brought into these vehicles we call human, hue, man of many hues, to basically see if we can get along with each other. In other words, it's an experiment. It's a test. It's one of the incarnations, basically grand experiments, to find out whether these races can get along. So now there have been, since the 12, okay, there have been a lot of other races coming in. And one of the primary ones that have come in over the last, let's say, about 60 years, let's say, is the Greys, and various, you know, versions of Greys. So not all the Greys are what we call biological entities, which are little robots. Some of the Greys are actually, you know, a race. Regardless, the races that the Greys are basically descended from the reptilians. So they contain a form of, they themselves are like a hybrid race from the reptilians. And so what happens is they have, everyone knows about the Grey human abduction programs, I think. And they've been especially busy, by the way, in South America and Latin America. And that's by design, by the way, because they're always looking for a human genome that is can withstand the amount of hybridization that they want to, you know, create. And so the races in South America were chosen because, and also Central America, were chosen because they have a strong Native American, you know, Indian kind of basis. And so they are very they're very close to indigenous people. And so they're less sort of fragile, because hybridization, you know, can basically destroy a genome. And so this is what we're talking about. So yes, of course there are hybrids. We're all hybrids. There are various kinds of hybrids. However, it is important to realize that a lot of the gray human hybrid children that have come onto Earth in the last 20 to 30 years, and even before that, but especially lately, are in some ways they are what you might call half human and half gray, and as much as that. And so what we're talking about is the grays have ruined their bodies in part because they decided to favor intellect over emotion. And they basically degraded their bodies. So the bodies are more or less meaningless, and they're mostly, you know, exist in mind, and they're a hive mind. And so you're going to get these children having a lack of empathy, a lack of emotion, being quite cold and calculating, and also there are going to be problems in the future, I can guarantee it, here on planet Earth because of this. And of course, the X-Men movies are trying to depict some of these things. Of course, we've got superpowers that come along with various ET hybridization, but all of us have superpowers. All of us are hybrids. So we are all descended from various races of beings out there. And you can intuit which beings you're more aligned with, which star systems you may have, you know, more genetic material from those races, etc., in your own way, and you know, by through meditation and various means. And it is reflected in your physicality, you know. Like I have a lot of lion being, and I look like a cat, people say. So I also have Pleiadian. Well, you know, people say I look Pleiadian or whatever. And so on. So, you know, these are the things we're talking about.
Now, it depends on who you ask, what researcher you're talking to. But based on your research, who you talk to,
Your sound has gone way down for some reason. I don't know why.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, based on who you've been talking to, based on your research, are the Draco still in control of this planet? Do they still hold most of the cards here?
My understanding is the Draco consider themselves to be in control. Whether they actually are or not might be a matter open to discussion. I can say that information I have is that, at least according to Mark Richards and other witnesses, is that there is a pecking order. The pecking order goes, you know, Draco, reptilians, grays, like that. So basically that's those, you know, reptilians report to the Draco, grays report to the reptilians, and so on. And so now there are lots of other races out there. So how that all plays out, I don't know in this sort of scheme of things. I do know that the Anunnaki, for example, were a humanoid race that were invaded by the Draco, just like we are invaded by the reptilians at this time and the Draco. And so what you get is basically an Anunnaki Draco and also Anunnaki reptilian hybrid. So this is where you get confusion over what the Anunnaki actually look like, because some of them look more reptilian than others. Some of them maintain their humanoid appearance and have less, I guess, Draco, but they were taken over. So this is going back in you know, millennia, so to speak.
So do you think that it's possible that high-level officials are still getting advice or communing with the Draco for certain things that they want to implement here on Earth?
Yes, a big time. And now I will say that one of the sort of recent indicators that we are still dealing with the Draco is what happened in Las Vegas. Las Vegas false flag, now that I've used that word, okay, I don't know if you want to edit it out or whatever, but what happened in Vegas didn't stay, or they're trying to keep it in Vegas, yeah? So, but the bottom line is that it took place at the Mandalay. I actually went to the Mandalay sometime after that incident and was very sort of astonished to stumble upon in the very front garden of the entrance of that hotel gigantic statues of Draco. And the Draco are the winged Draco, so the Shakars, which rule the Draco. And interestingly enough, aside from that, that was a real indication that what happened in Vegas at the Mandalay was orchestrated in part by the Draco and their involvement. Now, it was a war, and it does appear that it was a coup to take down our president. And this is, in other words, what happened in Vegas is at the level not only of 9/11, but of the Kennedy assassination. And they've kept it quiet. In fact, I've been told by a very high level witness that if you know something about what happened in Vegas and you talk about it, that you will be killed. And John Lear knows a fair amount about what happened in Vegas, and he hasn't really talked too much about it. I've told him I want to do a show with him about it, but I've also warned him that they've told me this. He laughed. I actually told, you know, got him to talk about it a little bit when I interviewed him on stage in the recent Laughlin conference that I was at. But at any rate, which, by the way, that interview, as far as I know, has never seen the light of day. So I'm not sure why it's taking them so long to put that interview out, whether they're going to charge money for it or not. It's still extremely worth seeing. But at any rate, this situation, so what happens is, what happened in Vegas was massive. They had troops that came out of underground bases. They had shootings all around Vegas. They had bodies shipped in that were already dead. They also had people that were never showed up at hospitals that were supposed to be injured but weren't. In other words, there's so many crazy things. And I know a group that's actually investigating, you know, piece by piece, every piece of evidence from the Vegas situation. I can tell you that Stephen Paddock, of course, didn't die there. But the body, the corpse, was like an inch shorter than him or something. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence all about this. And basically, we believe that Stephen Paddock is living on an island somewhere in the, you know, South Pacific or wherever the hell, drinking martinis on the beach, in essence. There's a lot going on with the Vegas situation. But it did involve the music industry. This is where you get Steve Wynn and his situation. You get MGM, the MGM Lions, involved. It does appear that it could have been something of a war between the Lions and the Draco. In other words, lion beings and Draco. And I don't know the answers. I know the signs. I know the telltale signs. I know intuitively that this is an extremely important event that happened, that was covered up very, very quickly, that the truth will never see the light of day if they can manage it. But I don't know, you know, the actual facts yet. I do know that, as I'm telling you, that I have this very high level contact that when I asked him about it, basically said he couldn't even talk about it, and that if anyone does talk about it and knows anything of, you know, that's worth anything, that they would be killed. So this is the kind of thing. So you want to know if the Draco have influence here, and I'm showing you. Now, on top of it, I have had my own exposure to Draco because I've said this story before. I can't remember if I said it on your show or not. So, you know, hopefully it's not a repeat. But before I got into Camelot, I used to meditate, of course. And I was working in the entertainment industry. And one day, I think it was a Saturday, but I don't know. I was meditating in my apartment in Hollywood. And I sort of slipped into the basically interdimensional space almost without knowing it. And I literally saw a winged dragon, Draco, fly by me, and he was conscious and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and then I came to, so to speak. I wasn't sleeping. I was going into a meditation, but this happened like very, very quickly. And at the time, I didn't believe that reptilians, you know, from like the movie that I think it's called Z and all of that. I didn't believe that V. You know, that there's been two movies of V. And I had seen, I think at the time the first one had been out, but I don't think the second one had come out yet, because this is quite a few years ago before Camelot. And I used to think to myself that, oh, isn't that stupid? There can't be reptilians, you know, like walking around beings with consciousness, etc. And since that day, of course, I knew they were real. So what can I tell you? You know, that's what happened to me.
So for the last few minutes that we have, I'd like to talk about basically what you see in the future when it comes to possibly the 2020 election. Now, I don't follow politics. My personal view is I always believe that our presidents are puppets. I just have this gut feeling that someone else has always been pulling the strings. Now, Trump, he does seem a little different to me. There's a bunch of interesting things that's going on behind the Trump, the whole Trump situation. I'd like to get your take on it and where you see us going in the next few years, especially with the election.
Okay. Well, let me say that I guess I'm a little like you in the sense that I don't actually spend a lot of time looking at the daily news because I think they lie so much that it's really just a distraction.
Right. Yes.
But sometimes I will have a prompt to go and look, and also some people will send me things inevitably because I'm sent, you know. Project Camelot is a centralization point. So I almost can't avoid finding out of things, right? But I can tell you that my understanding is that there was a coup so what was happening was Hillary and her server, you know, she was working for MJ-12 and she was working for Bush Sr. as the Clintons had always done. And that's why she had her own server. And so if you want to blame her, why don't you blame Bush Sr. instead of her? But nonetheless, that was part of her job. So she was basically reporting, as I say, to MJ-12 and you know, certain people do. Now, what happened was that the Clinton administration, I mean, the Clintons and their sort of minions, whatever, were stealing the election through hacking. They were hacking the election to win votes for Hillary. And so I guess I can say this. I mean, I had it on my show before and stuff. But they did kill one of my witnesses over it. So the Navy, the good part of the Navy, got involved seeing what was happening. And they actually put together a team to hack back the election for Trump. And so in essence, I guess Trump was winning. Hillary was hacking it to try to win. And then they hacked it back. So they hacked it. And that is what happened. And so I had testimony from an individual who was involved in this. Eventually, they killed him. And his last name is Davis. I think Rick Davis was his whole name. Anyway, I did a video with him. He's the guy who invented this thing called Poll Mole. So you can look on my website. It's an interview I did back in, before the election. And he was trying to do a real voter polling software. And so, of course, he was involved, and he was former Navy, and he was involved with, software engineers and all of that. In the course of things, he told me this, okay, behind the scenes. I wasn't the only one he told, apparently, but I think I'm the only one who talks publicly about it. So I know they killed him, and he wasn't that old. I don't think he was in the best of health, but they basically, which is how they work. They find your weakness and then they exploit it and kill you. And they did that to Brian O'Leary. There have been quite a few witnesses who have actually died that I've interviewed. So it is, a tragedy. So that's what happened there. So, okay. So now fast forward to this new election. Also, according to Mark Richards, Trump, he is dealing with a certain ET race that is not the reptilians, and he is in contact with them through his wife. What's her name again?
Melania.
Melania, yes. And I'm not sure exactly what Mark was saying with this, okay? Because it's hard to get sometimes him to drill down when he says a statement that sounds unbelievable. But he says it in just a point blank way. And, you know, I have to take it on board with what I hear. And at that point, you know, included, obviously, because I am the reporter, I'm reporting what he has to say in answer to my questions. So he volunteered this information, and that it, at any rate, somehow this E2 race communicates to Trump through her. But Trump is backed by the good side of the Navy, and this is my understanding, and that's why he has tried to do some very good things, and he is partially maybe more read in now than he used to be, but very quite read in on the secret space program and the deep state and all of that, which is why he doesn't put up with any of the BS. But he's also a showman. And so some of the things he does is for, you know, the drama, the effect, to sort of deceive the other side into believing he is like some kind of maniac or, you know, whatever. And that they don't get it, but it's very interesting because one of the ways they went about this election was to change their tactics, because we could never get any regular, you know, semi-regular person who wasn't part of the Bush cabal in the office of president. And I believe they actually succeeded with Trump. Now, Trump had his own reasons for putting himself in that horrible position, obviously. And, but I don't see him as diabolical as, you know, some people do, especially the Democrats who are like rabid dogs over him, but they don't get it. You know, it's like they're supposed to know show business and yet they don't know show business when they see it. So it's very interesting dynamic going on with regard to politics and all of that. Now, this doesn't mean he's an angel, and it doesn't mean he's not also part, to some degree, of the deep state. You know, he's a multimillionaire or whatever. But according to Mark, actually, he was given a lot more money than he actually had at a certain point so that he could be impervious to the machinations of the sort of Bush cabal that was and has been running the United States since Kennedy was assassinated. I mean, that's when the coup happened. Okay, that's when the major coup happened. And we have basically been going downhill ever since then, been taken over, you know, in every which way, surveilled, you name it, our rights taken away. And 9/11 was just the sort of coup de grace, if you want to call it. So that's kind of where things are at. There is going to be very possibly some kind of civil war eventually in the United States. Unless another solution is found in another timeline, I guess. And China, a war with China, probably is in the offing. And now you can see how it's materializing because of this whole AI situation. Because their AI, and they, of course, are working very hard on their AI, and they are also in touch with an alien race, which I'm sure has their own AI. So this is, you know, this is where people who work on the secret level are in denial. They could be so helpful if they would wake up and open their minds and their eyes and just watch Camelot videos and learn. But they won't. They, you know, a lot of these people are just closed-minded. They only see like with tunnel vision. They only want to believe, you know, like one person that I've heard says, you know, only if I can see my hand in front of my face, do I believe it? You know, this is like the stupidest thing to say in a multidimensional, you know, megaverse. I mean, it's unbelievable the way people lie to themselves, but you know, they want to be reductionist. They want to reduce everything down to tangible material, what they consider to be material reality. And that serves them. It makes them feel powerful. Otherwise, they feel powerless. I don't feel powerless. And yet I'm aware of all the dimensions and ETs and discarnate beings and you name it. It's just, you know, I mean, I don't think there's any point in limiting the mind of God, if you want to call it that. You know, so we are all part of the Creator, and there is no limit. So it's in a huge and amazing game, if you will.
Very well said. And Carrie, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. That was amazing information. Hopefully this video will stay up so everybody can see this. It's such important information that people need to see. And I want to thank you again so much.
All right. Thank you for the good questions. I've enjoyed it.
Be good. And I'm going to have you back on again.
Okay. All right. You take care.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.